And the truth is this, you may very well have had these feelings for a long time, maybe since childhood. But it's not because that's how God created you. It's because of your fallen, sinful, broken human nature and that demon that Satan assigned to destroy you from a young age. That's why those thoughts have plagued your mind. Who are you to judge me? I'm nobody. This word judges you. And it doesn't just judge you. It judges your every word, thought, and deed, and the intentions of your heart, as it judges me. And because God loves you with an everlasting love, with a pure love, He does not affirm your perversion or sin, and neither does His church. He loves you, but He does not affirm your sin, ever. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In God's kingdom, character really matters. Barnabas, it was said of him in Acts 11:24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Every single Christian should aspire to those three things, right? Good moral character, faith, and the Holy Spirit. It is possible to be mighty in faith, used of the Spirit, and not be good. How is that possible, Pastor? We were talking about this in staff meeting the other day. It's hard to grasp. Remember Balaam? Balaam was God's prophet. He prophesied correctly about Israel. But yet, he was very corrupt. The New Testament taught he's the one that taught Israel to sin. If he's mentioned in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation, and his very name is associated with greed, corruption, and immorality. Remember Samson? Samson was mighty in God. He did supernatural feats of strength while he was sleeping with prostitutes. Remember a guy named Judas? Jesus sent Judas out with the other disciples. He healed the sick and cast out demons, just like the other disciples. And yet, I don't think any of us would argue that Judas was good. How can that be? You can get away with it for a little while. You can say, look, God's still blessing me. We see examples of this all around us, don't we? But just because God's blessing you, still blessing you, that's God's mercy giving you space to repent. But eventually, the house is going to fall down. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to take back from you what He's deposited in you. You are responsible to steward what it is He's put in you. What He's done in you, every dime He's given you, every child, your spouse, you're responsible for the proper stewardship of that. And one day, He'll ask you what you did with it. Now, on the mercy side, I am so glad that God hasn't removed my anointing on Sunday because I messed up Saturday. There have been many Saturdays. Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I messed up in word, thought, or deed. Committed a sin of omission or commission. And God didn't just say, okay, that's it. You're out of here. No. What did He do? He convicted me and gave me space to repent. He didn't immediately say, well, you messed up this week. When you get up in that pulpit, you're going to bomb. Actually, what happens a lot of times is because He always brings whatever it was to my attention. and I have to have a time with him before I can come and preach, and it usually breaks me and humbles me greatly, and a lot of times those Sundays are more anointed than other times. I know that's hard to understand. I don't understand either, but I like it. I'm grateful that God is patient with me and long-suffering with me and gives me mercy. So let's pray for pure hearts and soft hearts and repentant hearts and clean hearts. We can live that way. Thirdly, you must choose to be faithful. Verse 21 said, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. That word piste means trustworthy, true, credible, obedient. God spells success F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L. Faithful. That's how God spells success. Many people are crazy gifted, but not faithful or dependable or trustworthy. Give me a faithful person over a gifted person any day of the week. Every pastor will tell you the same thing. I praise God we have so many gifted and faithful people. Our elders are not elders because they're sharp or because they're smart. Some of them ain't that smart. No, I'm kidding. They're all pretty smart. They're elders because they've proven over time that they're faithful to God. And it's not about age. It's about track record. You're faithful if you tithe, if you are consistent in attendance. You're faithful in dealing with your home issues. You're faithful to complete things. You're faithful to keep your word, even during hard seasons. You're faithful when you do it even with no encouragement. You're faithful when you keep plowing even though the ground is all rock. You're faithful to your spouse even when they're not meeting your needs. Let me ask you, are you able to be loyal when everybody else is jumping ship? That's called faithfulness. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And he said, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Now, most people hear that. I mean, people even prophesied this to him, and they say, okay, I'm obviously going the wrong way. I'm going the other way. But here's what he said. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. Well, Pastor, if I'm faithful, will God give me a ministry? Listen to me very carefully. Faithfulness is your ministry. Faithfulness is our ministry. But our verse says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. You can't stop getting more and getting blessed if you're faithful. Because God is a rewarder of those who are such. If you're first faithful, Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice he didn't put him in the ministry to see if he would be faithful. He counted him faithful and put him into the ministry. Nobody can take your salvation or relationship with Christ. You cannot lose it. You cannot walk around. Oh, man, I just had that. What did I do with that? You don't lose it like you lose your reading glasses. Right? But you can neglect it, abandon it, shipwreck it, sin against it. You can leave your first love. You can apostatize. You can be faithless and unfaithful. You can go after the false happiness set beside you instead of the joy set before you. You can do that and lose your joy and lose your reward, and I submit even your soul. The one talent guy lost it all. In our text, verse 28, it said, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has, you could insert even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. That's a sobering passage of Scripture. We need to honor and pay attention to those who have borne the heat of the day, who have borne the burden and sacrificed for things. You know, most of you are sitting in a building here that some people's blood, sweat, and tears are in. Literally, I have my physical blood, sweat, and tears in this, in parts of this building. Because if you've ever seen me do anything, you know I always hurt myself. And we need to honor those people that have gone before us. We need the zeal and the energy and the boldness of young people. We need the vision of middle people. And we need the wisdom of the elder people. But don't expect them to change quick. We will change if we see why and hear from God. We've been around the block a few times, so we know that you don't jump on everything that comes along. You test it. This is why generational church is so important, that we pour into each other and spur one another on. It's why you can't do it from your couch. There has to be that generational interaction. I would encourage all the young marrieds in here to take an old couple out to lunch and ask them all kinds of questions. We have volumes of stupid stuff we did that we can help you avoid. There was an old missionary. He's coming back from the mission field from Africa. It was in the time that Teddy Roosevelt had also been on a trip to Africa to hunt wild game. And so when they pulled up to the dock in the ship that had taken I don't know how long to cross the ocean, there was a band, and the crowd was just thronging the dock. And Teddy Roosevelt, of course, he was the president, so he got off first, and the band was playing, and everybody was applauding. He made a little speech, and they applauded, and then they all followed him off the dock. And about the last guy off the ship was this old missionary. There's nobody there to meet him. And he walked down the dock and he went to the train station. Nobody there at the train station. He got on the train and he went home. When he got home, there was nobody at the train station when he got home. And he's starting to feel a little sorry for himself. And he said, Lord, I've won at least 10,000 souls. There was no band. That guy, they were celebrating him because he killed some wild animals. I won 10,000 souls and there wasn't even one person to greet me. Nobody even knows what I did. I mean, here, I even came home. I'm in my hometown. And nobody is even here to greet me. And then he heard a still small voice that filled him with joy. And it simply said, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. We're not living for the applause of this world, for the accolades we can get now. We're living for what happens when we get home. And here's my last point. You must decide whose slave you will be. Notice I said slave instead of servant. The text says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, that Greek word is the word doula, which there's no other way to say it. It's slave. It means slave. It means a born slave. And the fact is this, you are somebody's slave. The only question is, whose slave are you? You're either a slave to sin, Satan in the flesh, or you're a slave to God. Those are really the only two choices you have. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's a lot of Gnosticism around in the church today that think, well, I believe and I love Jesus. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do with my body. I can give it to anybody. I can have sex at will with anybody, wherever, whatever, whoever I love. But I love Jesus. If you think that way, you're an extremely deceived person. When you truly surrender to Christ, you lay down all your rights to run your own life. And from that time forward, you become a servant of God, which means you also serve people. Matthew 20, verse 25, Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There is no longer your agenda and God's agenda. Because now in him we live and move and have our being. It's all about his agenda. Pride has no more place in our life. D.L. Moody at one time was the most famous evangelist in the world. It's estimated he won 1 million souls to the Lord in his lifetime. But he hosted a conference at Moody Bible Institute. And all these European pastors came. And on the first day they got there, when it was time to retire, they all put their shoes out in the foyer, out in the hallway, outside their rooms. And the reason they did that is because they had a custom in Europe that the hall servants would come along at night and collect their shoes and clean them and shine them and then put them back for them in the morning. Well, they didn't realize they weren't in Europe, they were in America, and wasn't anybody doing that. But D.L. Moody was concerned that they would be embarrassed. He didn't want them to be embarrassed. So he went and he collected all the shoes, and he went to the Bible school students and asked them to help him clean them and shine them, and he was met with cold stares and excuses. They all thought that was beneath them. So he took all these shoes back to his own room, the most famous evangelist in the world. And he cleaned and shined every one of those shoes and put them back outside the pastor's doors. Nobody would have ever even known he did it except some guy burst in on him while he was in the middle of it. So that guy that burst in on him later enlisted some other people to help. And every night of the conference, they went and got these shoes and cleaned them and polished them and put them back. At the end of the conference, those pastors didn't even know who had done it. I submit to you that this is more of a key than his amazing preaching as to why he was the most famous evangelist in the world. I would rather be famous in heaven's halls than men's fleeting flashes of flame, of fame. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I think you know the answer. I want my three servants to come back. Bobo. Bobo, what'd you do with my stuff while I was gone? Wow. Wow, that's awesome. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's amazing. Bebo, where's my stuff? Awesome. You did just as good as he did.
I doubled it for you, Master.
Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Where's Dumbo? What have you done with my stuff? Where's the rest of it?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
What are you talking about?
That's what you gave me.
So you buried my stuff. You didn't even go down to the bank so I could get 1 or 2% interest from it.
Didn't want to lose it.
Didn't want to lose it. Oh, good. Hey, take this and give it to that guy right there. He'll know what to do with it. You guys, come here. Take this wicked, lazy servant and cast him into outer darkness.
No. No, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to do that. No, I didn't.
Praise God. That is a pretty close picture of what's going to be happening. Three servants. He'll find his way out. He's in outer darkness. He can feel his way around until he gets out. Three servants. One was a slave to fear. He hid what was meant to bless both him and others because he didn't know the true heart of his master. And he was wicked and lazy, and it puts the word unprofitable in there. He hid his Lord's talent. He saw it as a burden, an inconvenience, an interruption of his normal life. Now, he didn't steal it. He didn't spend it. He just didn't respect it or even think about it. He buried it so he wouldn't have to think about it. The two good, faithful servants lived fulfilled lives. They were about the Father's business instead of just their own. And in the end, they entered into, now listen to this, not their version of happiness, but the joy of their Lord. It's His joy that we're to enter into. The joy of the Lord, which is eternal, which is perfect, which is wonderful. And here's my final little nugget for you today. You will have the joy of whatever or whoever is your Lord. Whatever, if your Lord is materialism, that's the joy you'll get. If your Lord is another person, that's the joy you'll get. If it's a career, that's the joy you'll have. If it's any other false idol, that's all the joy you're going to get. And that's temporary, that's empty, that's worthless. It's going to be a little spurt and it's going to be gone. Now, they do provide a temporary narcotic to dull the pain and the stresses of life. You can have those things, but they're temporary narcotics. So if you want the real, lasting, eternal, genuine joy, you have to get the Lord part right. Not the Lord as you wish Him to be, but the actual one. He's an actual person that you have to have an actual relationship with. Not an idea of. A lot of people have an idea of God, an idea of what lordship means. But unless you know Him personally, you have no clue of what lordship means. And you have to get that right. if you want to enter the joy of your Lord. Now, somebody's probably sitting there thinking something like, Pastor, you're killing my buzz. Good. Good. There's so much foolishness going on in the church of the living God that I'm shocked, honestly, that he hadn't just said, okay, it's done. He's about to, I think. But right now we have mercy. Right now we can do it right. And if you haven't done it right your whole life, guess what? Repent. Say, okay, Lord, I've wasted most of your stuff, but I still got this, and I'm going to do with it what you say. And you'll get to enter the joy of your Lord also. But it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to decide whose slave you are. Just bow your head. While your heads are bowed, I want to ask you a question. What will you hear on that day from the Lord? Will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will you hear, why? Will you hear, take it away from them and give it to somebody that'll use it for what I gave it for? Will you hear, enter the joy of your Lord? Or will you hear, cast him into outer darkness? Only you and God can know the answer to this. I mean, you all look awesome to me, but I can't see your heart. But I promise you, God does. You're all really nice-looking church people. That won't get you anywhere on that day. But know this, that he loves you with an everlasting love, and his purpose for your life is that at the end he will be able to say to you, enter into the joy of your Lord. The choice is really, truly left with you. So while your heads are bowed, is there a person in the room that will raise your hand and say, Pastor, either I haven't ever given my life to Christ, or I've strayed far away. I'm not about my Father's business. I haven't been investing what he's invested in me for the kingdom. I've been just doing my own thing. And today, I'm done with that. I'm going to be his slave. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Today, you're going to decide you're going to be the Lord's slave. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Okay. Stand with me. Father, I pray for everyone who raised their hand. God, I pray in Jesus' name, and for the ones that didn't raise their hand, I pray, God, that you rivet us upon what's truly important. Give our eyes the ability to see what's of eternal significance. Help us to not neglect the gift that is within us, but to stir it up and allow you to use it through our lives. Cause us to be blessings to this world and to other people. But most of all, cause us to be faithful to you. In the places we've not been faithful, God, rebuke us clearly. Bring your conviction that we might be pleasing to you in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the The Lord's return is so close. And I appreciate so much the faithful people in this church that have stood with us through thick and thin over all these years. Today is the 22nd anniversary of our son going to be with Jesus. And I think I've held it together pretty good today. It was on a Sunday, August 1st. And my determination is nothing's going to get between me and that reunion. There is nothing in this world worth that. And whether you are a young person or an old person or an in-between person, it's going to be pretty soon. It's going to be pretty soon for all of us. Now, I think I'm going to see the rapture, but I might die first. Either way is good. But while we're here, we got talents to invest. We got people who aren't going with us. And we have some coinage to deposit their way. So let's be about the Father's business. I'd say one more thing before I dismiss you. You can turn those lights up. We're going to take a little vacation. I would appreciate you being extra careful about being in church and helping where you can. It takes a lot of people to share the load, and we've got great people to share the load. But I also know this, that the enemy is mean. And every vacation I've ever taken, that sucker just tries to do something. He messes with people. He tries to mess with the church. He brings up things that nobody ever thought would happen. But that's all right. We have all authority over him, right? I mean, the church assembled can't be defeated. So just be the church while we're gone. We'd appreciate it. Father, I bless your people today. I thank you, Father, for what you've deposited in us. I thank you, Lord, for these treasures and earthen vessels. God, I pray, Lord, that more and more and more oil would spill out of us on everybody around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.